listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
So we have one topic we're covering today, and actually this is the sole interview, and I've done this on purpose because I find that when I do these one-hour shows, more people are inclined to pass them around and listen to them than a longer show because people are busy. And at least a one-hour show you can chunk up into two listens if you do cardio or something like that. I really want this show passed around. It's astonishing to me today the number of people who still haven't gotten the message about the linkage between diet and Alzheimer's disease. It's astonishing to me. And I'm not being a, you know, science snob, like, well, oh, I've known that. But it's what I don't get is when people that I respect, that are intelligent people, don't know this. And the worst part is that the medical orthodoxy keeps saying, whenever they say the word Alzheimer's disease, they always follow it with, to which there is no cure. To which there is no cure. To which there is no cure. And this is just not true. We did a show with Dr. Dale Bredesen back in 2013 after he turned 26 patients over who had Alzheimer's disease. And he doesn't say he cured Alzheimer's disease. He cured all the symptoms. That's what pharmaceutical drugs do anyway. And now he's working in a multi-centered study with over 200 patients to see if he could do the same thing on a larger scale. And I've already gotten feedback, and they're doing amazing. And so this book that we're going to talk about today, The Alzheimer's Antidote, is so important. It's so important for you to read if you still haven't gotten the memo, and it's so important for you to buy for family members who you love and care about. Because I'm watching it, people. This whole nation is on the express train to Alzheimer's disease. And people don't understand. You can get off the flipping train. J Street and Borough Hall, next stop. Watch the closing doors, please. So, and my guest probably knows where J Street and Borough Hall is, and that's Amy Berger. How you doing, Amy?
I'm good, Carl. That intro was so great. I love how you just tell it like it is.
You know, I'm getting older, Amy. There's no time for kibitzing around and, you know, the dance. Well, I don't want to insult this guy. You know, it's like, oh, my God, we're going to hell in a handbasket, and everybody's just sitting back going, pass the popcorn.
Right. Have you seen that meme? There's a meme going around with the dog sitting by the fire, and he's like, this is fine. You may not have seen it. Some of the listeners might know what I'm talking about. It's pretty popular. It's just like, basically, this dog sitting at a cafe drinking a coffee, and the place is up in flames, and he's just sitting there, and it says, this is fine. And that's what this is. You're right. I mean, we're on this train, and we're just watching it roll right off the tracks, full speed ahead. And nobody's doing anything about it.
And I know you have to be like me. So when you get together with friends and family, the last thing that you want them to feel is like, oh, God, we're going to be with Amy. She's going to tell us everything we're doing wrong with our lives. And so you probably completely shut it off, right?
I do. I don't really comment. I mean, I'm pretty lucky. Most of my friends are actually fairly healthy. You know, the ones that have issues, I bring it up once or twice and then never again. They know what I do, and if they want my help, they know where to find me. But I don't want to be one of those people that preaches and proselytizes and who, you know, gets to the point where no one wants to be around you.
But at the same time, it's got to drive you crazy, because it drives me crazy when you see people you care about and their loved ones, you know, elderly parents that they're caring for, and they're like, oh, Papa, have more dessert. Papa, have more dessert. And you're thinking to yourself, Papa's got Alzheimer's disease, and you're basically giving him the thing that's going to speed his demise faster. If you knew this, would you do it? I get the whole, well, it's not going to lengthen his life any. He's had a good life, so let him enjoy it. That's a totally Italian-Jewish thing, right? Oh, let him enjoy it. He doesn't have much time left. Wait a minute. He may actually have more time left if you stop feeding him that stuff.
Yep.
So Anyway, okay. So let's talk about your book, which really I'm serious. People need to buy this book and give it away as a gift. The Alzheimer's Antidote. Were you worried about writing a book and calling it that?
Yes. I'm actually surprised my publisher let me keep that. That was the original title. I wrote this about 2 years ago as an e-book, like a little PDF that I sold on my website. And that's the name we gave it. I am a little nervous about it, you know, because you use the word cure a lot at the beginning of the show, and nowhere in my book do I use the word cure. You know, I'm very careful to say potentially prevent, potentially reverse, potentially slow the progression of Alzheimer's. Are the dietary and lifestyle recommendations I suggest a cure? That word is really iffy for me. I think we can make a lot of progress toward reversing some of the issues and undoing some of the damage. Can we undo all of it? Probably not, depending on how severe the disease is, how advanced it is. But I don't know that it's a cure, but we could probably say, like we do for type 2 diabetes, you know, some people have said, I've cured it, I've reversed it. Well, maybe we want to be more careful with the language and say you've managed it. You're managing it.
But, you know, I respect you. You know that. I mean, I think you're fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think the work that you do is fantastic, and you're very down to earth, and you're willing to change. And, I mean, you have all the earmarkings of somebody who's going to be contributing to this industry for a very long time to come. With that being said, what you just did is what physicians do, scientists do, and this is unfortunately, it's a type of self-censorship that people feel is necessary, not because they don't believe, and I'm not suggesting anything about you. I'm talking about other people, like Dr. Dale Bredesen. He couldn't say we reversed Alzheimer's disease because he would have had the FDA and all the pharmaceutical companies coming down on him in UCLA like the sky was falling. So he had to say,
right,
we reversed the symptoms. And I think that's funny because that's what pharmaceutical drugs just either mask or reverse symptoms. They don't go to the core of the problem, which, quite frankly, Dr. Dale Bredesen is going to the core, and books like yours are going to the core, which, in my opinion, should be associated with the word cure. But I know you can't say it because there are entities out there that really just would crap their pants if that could get out and those words could be tied together. They'd be like, oh, man, we have billions of dollars we're going to lose in the next few years on pharmaceutical drugs. So this,
right.
I get it. I understand.
I'm purposely being very cautious, but I don't want that to take away from the belief that I have and the potential of this to work. And I can't. Do we want to use the word cure? You know, I don't know, but I also think it depends on who the person is. You know, the older somebody is and the more advanced the disease, the less likely it is that they're going to have significant improvement. I believe they will have some improvement, but can we hope for miracles with someone who's, you know, 88 years old and has had dementia for 20 years? They are probably not going to see the same degree of improvement maybe somebody in their 60s would.
Right. When did we start calling it Alzheimer's disease? Like, when my grandfather and grandmother got old, we didn't even call it dementia. I'm trying to think what they called it back then when I was a kid. But it was just, you know, you kind of lost your faculties and you slowed down. And
I think they just called it senility. Like, oh, he's senile.
Senile. Yeah. Thank you. He's senile.
Yeah.
He's senile. Right. Right. When did it become Alzheimer's disease?
I don't know when the term came into vogue in the masses, like in the public. But, I mean, the disease was classified as a distinct entity, I think, in the early 1900s.
Interesting.
I mean, it was a long time. It was Dr. Alzheimer who the disease was named for. He, I guess, identified the pathology as a distinct form of senility or dementia.
Yeah. And poor Dr. Alzheimer's, he knew that the people that would know his name the most wouldn't remember it anyway. So it's very, very sad. That was my attempt at a joke, okay? An off-color joke. Okay, so.
Well, I used to joke, right? They used to call it Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Alzheimer's disease. But we can't do that anymore because we are no longer talking about a disease limited to people in their 80s and 90s. We're talking about people now in their 50s and 60s. And this is like, with the baby boomers, my dad is 71. I mean, you said we're on the express train, and we are, because we've got millions upon millions of people reaching these golden years or twilight years, and they're all, you know, how many decades have they spent on a high carbohydrate, high vegetable oil, you know, low animal fat diet?
Yeah, and then you know, I've said on this show for so many years, and it's actually becoming the theme of my show, that the new evolutionary selection pressure is where you get your information from. It's not famine. It's not ice age. It's the information that you use to navigate your life that will determine whether you have a long disease-free life or you have a short disease-ridden life. And you have Dr. Oz telling people to eat more vegetable oil. Just the other day, he was on the Today Show and he's telling people corn oil, soy oil, you know, safflower,
really?
Eat more. Oh my God.
Goodness.
I literally want to lean forward and ram my head into a wall when I hear this man talk. And telling people, so really, people are like, wait a minute. So vegetable oil is not good? They just said it was good on Today's show. This is what's destroying the planet. The propagation of bad information for commercial purposes, and people don't know what to do. They don't know what, because most people would do the right thing if they knew what the right thing was.
Right.
It's so sad. So enter a high fat diet, right? So talk about the role of the high fat diet and managing some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease.
Okay. Well, we probably just have to back up real quick and tell people that the fundamental problem in Alzheimer's disease, the fundamental root issue causing the memory loss and the behavioral problems and the things that we observe is that neurons in certain areas of the brain have lost the ability to harness energy from glucose. It's basically an energy crisis in the brain. And these neurons atrophy and wither and starve to death is essentially what's happening. So how do we fix that? Now, we all know the brain requires a certain amount of glucose, but your listeners at this point also know that glucose is not the only fuel that the brain can run on. Now, the brain, no matter how high the ketones are, no matter how good a ketogenic diet someone's following, the brain still needs a little bit of glucose. But we can dramatically reduce the amount of glucose the brain needs by elevating ketones. So, I mean, obviously that's the whole rationale behind a higher fat diet for this condition. But in my opinion, it's more important to focus on the low carb aspect than the high fat.
Interesting.
Because it's kind of like what's going on now. There's all these news stories, even in the mainstream press, about, you know, butter is good for you, you know, high fat diet, eat fat, coconut oil, there's stories on bulletproof coffee. But nobody is emphasizing the equally, if not more important part of that equation, which is to reduce carbohydrate. You can't just add butter to your pasta and think you're going to get better or lose weight or reverse your diabetes or your Alzheimer's. You can't,
great point.
You can't, you know, you can't add lots of fat to, you know, like in the morning, oh, if I just add more butter to my bagel, then I'll be healthy. No, how about you just ditch the bagel altogether? So in terms of having an impact upon Alzheimer's, I think it's more important to focus on the low carb because we want to generate ketones. We want to generate ketones to feed the brain, to feed the starving brain, and just adding more fat to a habitually high-carb diet is not going to do it.
You know, that is so brilliant. It really is. And Ron Penna from Quest always tells me, sometimes it's more important about what you remove from the diet than what you add to the diet and when you're searching for a diet that works for your body. And a lot of times, a lot of the information about diet is skewed because they only look at what they added. They don't look at what they displaced. That comes down to what's removed. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the book. The book is called The Alzheimer's Antidote. You can get it at Amazon.com. Amy, do you have a website set up for this book specifically, don't you?
Yes, but it's not. It's kind of just a shell now. It was the book. It was the site for the ebook, but now that the ebook is no longer for sale, they can go to AlzheimersAntidote.com, but the content is not ready yet, so it's just kind of a shell.
Okay, so they should just go to Amazon or wherever better books are sold, I guess, right?
Right. Yes,
okay, let's do that. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs. But the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking. Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing, so our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Amy Berger about her new book, The Alzheimer's Antidote. Everybody should own this book because I'm telling you right now, unless you're living the lifestyle that we espouse on this show where you're eating an ancestral diet that's high in healthy fats and high in protein and low in starchy carbs and, you know, lots of vegetables, obviously. You know, you are absolutely on the fast train to developing Alzheimer's disease if you are eating a lot of breads and pastas and all the things that our government tells us should be the cornerstone of our diet, quite frankly, interestingly.
Right. But I'm glad you used the word ancestral because, I want to kind of make it clear. I don't think high carbohydrate diets are necessarily causing or are the only cause of this condition. Obviously we know there are populations around the world that eat a high carbohydrate diet and they're great. They age gracefully. They don't have any of these sort of modern chronic diseases of civilization. They don't have diabetes and heart disease and gout and Alzheimer's and all this stuff. So I don't know that it's the carbohydrates per se, or if it's the carbohydrate combined with, you know, not sleeping enough, not getting enough physical activity, the vegetable oils and all the other aspects of our lifestyle and diet. But because even it could be a certain type of carbohydrate, the degree of processing, because some of these ancestral populations or these tribes that are kind of still eating along the lines of how they ate, you know, thousands of years ago, they're not eating crackers and cookies and bread and pastries and donuts. They're eating sweet potatoes and taro root and yucca and you know, even if they're eating grain, they're eating it usually fermented, usually very fresh.
Right.
I don't want to demonize carbohydrate entirely. You know, because for me to say, like, if somebody eats too many lentils, they're going to get Alzheimer's, I think that's ridiculous.
Right.
But I also, of course, the whole point of my book is once somebody has already gotten to the point where their brain is not able to harness energy from glucose, there is no point to feeding them foods that end up as glucose.
Yes. Yes.
And do I think avoiding those foods in the first place can potentially prevent or stave off this illness? Yes, I do, but I don't think that's the only thing that can help.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that these types of extremes where you exclude something completely from your diet should only be applied in an absolute therapeutic approach. This shouldn't be your standard, oh, I'm never going to eat grains ever again, because it's too restrictive. And the truth of the matter is, you know, you want to be social, you want to be able to do things. So occasionally you're going to eat something you don't necessarily want to. I ate black beans this weekend. I don't like beans. I just don't eat them. But they were so mm-hmm. delicious, and I enjoyed them. And you got to cut yourself some slack. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wants to be that restrictive, they can. I'm just
right.
saying I don't think that's required to prevent this illness.
So the reality is that so the number one taker of lives in the United States is heart disease, but this is not true. The number one taker of lives in the United States is basically insulin resistance. Because heart disease is a result of the insulin resistance that we have today in our population. It's kind of like saying cars cause car accidents and negating the fact that people drive them and they're the ones that cause car accidents, saying that heart disease is the number one killer. The number one killer by far, and you can include the development of Alzheimer's disease, is these ragingly high blood sugar levels, to where the body just can't control it. You can't produce enough insulin, and these numbers go up and up and up like water on a rock, wearing out your brain. So talk about type 2 diabetes for a second from the standpoint of, do you think it's wise that people do their own OG, a GTT, glucose tolerance test at home, maybe with white rice or applesauce? I saw Rob Wolf and Nikki Violetti put up an interesting Instagram the other day. What do you think about that?
I think that is not a bad place to start. It's not a bad idea, but you cannot be more right when you say insulin resistance or just insulin issues in general, as the number one killer, because it is, I want to say related to, I think it is causal in heart disease, in type 2 diabetes, in mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, in so many of hypertension, the silent killer.
Yes.
I mean, so many issues all have the same underlying cause, and the reason most people don't know about it is because most doctors aren't looking for it. They'll measure your blood pressure, and they'll measure your fasting glucose, and they'll measure your, you know, triglycerides. They won't measure insulin. You have to ask for a fasting insulin test, and I think that the insulin test is the number one most important test that nobody's doing. It should absolutely be a standard part of blood work. You should not walk into a doctor's office and have blood drawn for like a metabolic panel without an insulin test, and just nobody's doing it. And so the thing is, even I think testing blood sugar is very helpful and very informative, but it doesn't tell us anything about insulin. And there's a lot of people out there, like I think a lot of the reason why Alzheimer's is missed when it could be caught in very early stages, or even diabetes, any issue related to insulin, why it's missed, is because nobody's measuring it. When they only measure your glucose and your A1C, all that tells you is what's going on with glucose. But there are so many people who are walking around with normal blood sugar and normal A1C only because sky-high insulin is keeping the glucose in check.
Right, when you're young. When you're young, that happens. Yeah.
Right, right. And in so many of these conditions, it's glucose is not the problem. The problem is the insulin.
No, I've been screaming that for like probably 4 years now. Like the thing I used to say on the show was looking at glucose by itself is looking at your gas pedal and trying to assess how fast you're going based on the distance between your gas pedal and the floor. And there's so many other variables. Are you going uphill? Are you going downhill? You know, it's like,
right.
You know what? I just thought of something. The reality is the first line test should be insulin. Because if your insulin is low, we can assume that things are going well with glucose if you're not presenting any problems, like you're hypoglycemic and stuff. So really, that should be the first line test. And then your insulin's really high. Let's see where glucose is now. Oh, you know, we know what we need to do. So in reality, what you're suggesting actually is what the standard should be. They should be doing insulin tests and maybe a C-peptide test, but insulin tests.
Yeah. Well, I think they should be testing glucose too, but they should definitely be doing insulin as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's the time to catch it. By the time your blood sugar is high, by the time you have organ damage from chronically high blood sugar, your insulin was probably already high for who knows how long, years, maybe decades, and just nobody was ever looking for it.
And see, the brain actually can produce its own insulin in a situation of depravity. So if the brain actually becomes insulin resistant second before the rest of the body does, because the brain actually can produce insulin on demand in an emergency. But that is a very, very short duration resource. So when you put your brain to that kind of work over and over again, obviously that's when glucose just stops getting in. So you're spot on about this. I want to take a quick commercial break. I've got lots more questions. We're talking with Amy Berger. The book is The Alzheimer's Antidote. If you have anybody that's in their 60s, hey, I'm going to be 60 soon. Man, what the hell happened? But if you have anybody that's in their 60s, you got to buy them this book so that they at least have a fighting chance of avoiding this horrible disease. My mother really died after Alzheimer's set in. I remember the last time I went to the nursing home to see her. She didn't remember me. The nurse brought me in and said, "Oh, Florence, look, it's your son." And she looked at the nurse and said, "I don't have a son."
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is. You know, Alzheimer's disease punishes the living, not the people who have the Alzheimer's disease, because to them, everything is great. Everything is new. Everything is fine. They'll stare at the television set and they'll be happy. And, you know, but it's the people around them who get forgotten by them that, like, you know, hard to deal with.
And that's who I wrote my book for. I mean, I wrote it for the caregivers and the loved ones so they can see what's going on and why and what to do about it. It's not for the people with the disease, you know.
Yeah. But it can be. It can be if you still have your faculties about you and you want to derail this disease. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Cana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Get on the floor, Welcome back. We're talking with Amy Berger. And we're talking about her new book, The Alzheimer's Antidote. This book just came out. It was just released, right?
Actually, the official release date is the 24th of March, a couple days away.
Cool. So now people need to get their orders in now. This book is going to go fast. It really is. So I'm getting questions from some listeners, and I'm trying to kind of compile them, right? Do you write about supplements in this book at all, like supplements that seem to be?
I do, yes.
Okay, can you talk about maybe the short list, the top three supplements that people should be considering when battling Alzheimer's?
You could start with a good blood test because I most people with Alzheimer's are probably going to be low, if not outright deficient, in B12, zinc, and omega-3s, whether that means fish oil or cod liver oil or some good source of omega-3. Those are probably the top three. Beyond that, I think things like berberine or alpha lipoic acid can, you know, basically anything that helps with blood sugar and insulin,
right,
is probably going to help.
Yeah, cinnamon. Yeah. Put cinnamon on your food. Obviously, that's a good
insulin mimetic. Yeah, cinnamon, chromium, even there's some like more advanced, you know, nootropic type things like huperzine A,
yep,
and a compound called PQQ. And I have to say, and even like acetyl L-carnitine, you know, to boost the fat oxidation in the mitochondria. It's all of these supplements are just that. They're supplemental to a low-carb ketogenic diet. Because
yes,
the supplements, you know, if you're continuing to eat garbage all day and to have your same lifestyle that may have played a role in triggering this in the first place, and you're just going to take some supplements, I just don't think that's going to do a whole lot. But combine the supplements with some of the dietary and lifestyle changes, because, you know, some of the studies that they've done on some of these supplements have not been that promising. You know, some of them have shown a little bit of promise, but I say in the book, let's do a randomized controlled trial of X, Y, and Z supplement in people on a ketogenic diet and see if it doesn't even give them a further leg up.
Right.
It's like, let's have this teeny tiny change in people who are so far gone, and we're surprised when there's no result. Like, oh, somebody who's eating 200 to 250 grams of carbohydrate a day doesn't see any benefit from taking zinc. What a shock.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
You
got to remove the insult. You got to remove the insult,
exactly,
for any of these supplements to have an effect.
Yeah.
And the insult's coming from their high blood sugar. So, since you mentioned fish oil, and by the way,
I'm a huge proponent of eating salmon three times a week to my audience. In fact, we have a sponsor now for that reason, Vital Choice. They ship wild, flash frozen Alaskan sockeye salmon right to your door, cheaper than you can buy it locally. But
I get canned salmon from Vital Choice. It's delicious.
Oh, they're great. They're so good. Yeah. And you know what? And screw the burping up fish oil for the next hour. Just go for a nice piece of salmon three times a week. But since you mentioned the fish oil, you write about the APOE4 allele, which they don't do well with those particular omega fatty acids. Talk about that gene type and the onset of Alzheimer's disease.
Good question. So the APOE4 is the largest known genetic risk factor for this condition. And I say it's a risk factor. It doesn't cause Alzheimer's. It's not a death sentence because there are many, many people homozygous for E4, so they have both E4 alleles. Instead of being like a 2-3 or a 3-4, they're 4-4, and they don't have Alzheimer's. And the majority of people with Alzheimer's are not E4s. So we know that this isn't necessarily causing Alzheimer's. It makes you more susceptible because it seems to be that this particular genetic type is not suited for a very high carbohydrate diet. They seem to do much better on a higher fat, very low grain. They may also do better on... Some experts on this area say that too much saturated fat is not good. So they do well with like low to no dairy products. It seems that this phenotype is one that is, I don't know if we could call it the oldest. They say it's, Dale Bredesen says it's the most simian. It's the most like an ancestral ape type of genotype, which means, we really wouldn't have been adapted for a lot of grain and just a lot of sugar. Maybe lots and lots of fibrous vegetables, seafood. But this genetic type is selected against in populations that eat a high carbohydrate diet. Well, I might be saying that wrong. The frequency of this genetic type is greater in populations that eat a lower carbohydrate diet.
Interesting. So, and this, this is why you can't do anything today in a generalization approach. Medicine, supplementation, exercise, everything needs to be more individualized. And once again, this is an important factor because I was looking for the number. There is some very significantly large group of our population in the United States that are APOE4 allele type people. And they don't know it. And then you overlay that with the RDAs on foods and how you should be eating from the authorities having jurisdiction of providing that information. You realize that this is a death sentence to that person. You're basically telling, and so you can't even make dietary recommendations today without knowing more about the person. It's boggled the mind, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I think there's some general recommendations we can make. Nobody, even the people who thrive on high carb diets, are they designed to thrive on Pop Tarts? Microwave waffles?
Good
I don't
point.
Know.
Good
maybe they do better with corn and, I don't know what, yams and beets, but I think there are some overarching principles, and we can just monitor how people do. But I just think, you and I were talking before we started recording. It's just shocking to me that nobody is really talking more, at least to the public, about the connection between diet and this condition, and whether or not diet is actually causing this. I certainly believe that a particular diet can improve it or reverse it. And nobody's saying that. My two huge chapters in my book are devoted to the concept of Alzheimer's as what they call type 3 diabetes. This isn't news. I mean, to people like you and me, we've known about this for years. It's all over the scientific journals, but nobody has been bringing this to the people who need it. The caregivers of people affected with this condition and their loved ones, they don't have time to sit and read the neurology journals, and even if they did, would they be able to understand it?
No.
So it's unconscionable to me that doctors, even neurologists, throw their hands up. We don't know what's causing this. There's nothing you can do. Get your affairs in order. That's the advice.
It's terrible.
In order. There's no standard of care whatsoever. Every single drug for this condition has been a failure. At best, they have a very, very mild impact on slowing the disease down. Nothing stops it. Nothing reverses it. There's nothing for these people.
Like, nothing. No drug. Weak. No drug stops it. No drug therapy reverses it.
Exactly. Exactly. Why? Because it's not caused by a drug deficiency. you know, this Alzheimer's is not a memantine deficiency. It's a systemic metabolic
there you go.
Problem. And there's ways to fix it. And I just, the word is starting to get out now about type 2 diabetes and how easy it is to reverse it with diet and lifestyle. I hope that at some point it's as common knowledge with Alzheimer's.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is that cancer is a metabolic disorder. Everything that we're fighting today is a metabolic, it finds its genesis in metabolism, which means that we have complete control over it, but you have to have good information in order to take the kind of steps to eat the kind of foods that don't put you into a potential disease state. The book is The Alzheimer's Antidote. It's a must-buy book. You must buy a copy for your mom, your grandmother, whoever it is that is in your family that is getting to that age, and just let them read it themselves. Don't preach to them. Just buy them the book and say, hey, I think you'll be interested in reading this book. And just see what they say. I got a feeling that someday they'll come back to you because they'll be able to remember who you are and thank you for giving them that book. We'll be right back.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Quest Keto is making the keto ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both Use and endorse CanSee Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I know you want me, baby. I think I want you too.
Welcome back. Eminem is listening. He doesn't want Alzheimer's disease. He won't be able to remember his lyrics. That would be tragic. One of the greatest rappers of all time right there. Lyricist. I predict that 200 years from now, they'll be looking at the writings of Eminem the way we look at Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, I really do. I think he's by far one of the greatest lyricists of our time. Okay. Enough of my, that was my little bit of my see, I can be a critic too. I can do one of those shows as well where I can critique music. We're talking about the Alzheimer's antidote. It's a great book. It's a must-have book. And really, the older someone gets, they have to sit down and read this book, whether they want to or not. Let's talk about beta-amyloid plaque for a second. It gets a bad rap as being causative. Is it causative or is it just corollary?
I think it's correlative. I don't think it's causative. I think I explain it kind of like a fever, where a fever is initially a defensive mechanism by the body, right? You have some type of organism attacking your body from the inside, and your body, as a protective defense, raises your core temperature in order to kill this pathogen. But in raising the core temperature, it gives you a fever. And that's fine unless the fever spikes really, really high, and then the fever itself becomes a problem. Same thing with the amyloid. The amyloid is initially secreted as a protective step, except when it starts to accumulate and solidify and form these plaques, then it becomes a problem. But so it is not, I don't think it's the initial cause, but it does exacerbate things as time goes on.
So there's an interesting phenomenon taking place right now that people are not aware of, unless they've listened to my show and listened to enough of them to hear this particular one with Dr. Anthony Samsell. He's been on my show a couple times, and he's with the Arthur D. Little think tank. He's done a lot of research in glyphosate. He's taken it upon himself. Glyphosate is a is an herbicide that we use a lot in conventionally grown produce crops. And we know that people are consuming it because every time they do a test, they find it in breast milk of mothers, they find it in the urine of school children, they find it everywhere. It has pretty much touched our entire planet. Dr. Samsell points out that the real danger in glyphosate may not be its potential carcinogenic effect, but instead that it's a synthetic form of glycine. So it gets incorporated into tissue in our bodies the same way glycine does. In fact, it competes, and it's more competitive. It outcompetes glycine, so it gets into tissue more frequently. Consuming a product that has one part per billionth of glyphosate in it is 48,000 molecules. Then times that by the volume of whatever it is that you're drinking. Or consuming. The reason I tell you this is because there's a new phenomenon. We are seeing more and more cases of amyloidosis of tissue. There's a new phenomenon where there's a type of heart failure caused by amyloidosis. The body can't get rid of the glyphosate, so it bioaccumulates in tissue and makes tissue non-functional. And I'm wondering, when I hear this discussion, you know, we first heard about amyloid when it came into vogue about Alzheimer's disease. I'm wondering if, in fact, the consumption of a diet high in exposure to this glyphosate also kind of speeds this, even if it's corollary, this metabolic waste accumulation in the brain, and then if that also has an effect here.
And I know you weren't aware of this, so I'm not asking you to speak definitively, but just kind of conversationally. What do you think about that?
Nothing would surprise me at this point. I wouldn't be shocked if that was a contributing factor. How it contributes would be my question. What is the mechanism? And it could be something as simple as, you know, maybe either the continued accumulation of the amyloid being triggered by this glyphosate is interfering with glucose metabolism in the brain, or maybe if this is kind of inhibiting the absorption or the metabolism of normal glycine from regular food, maybe that is the problem. I don't know what the mechanism would be, but it wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, at this point, kind of like you said, we cannot avoid glyphosate. It's everywhere. Even if you eat organic, even if you don't eat grain, I feel like at this point, this stuff is airborne. It's going to touch crops regardless of where you get your food from. But we can probably reduce our exposure to it by eating either organic or avoiding largely the foods that are sprayed with this stuff in the first place. And what's that going to be? A lot of the grain, a lot of the soy,
yep,
the wheat, you know, the stuff that I would recommend people avoid anyway. So
once again, it comes down to what you apparently unknowingly seem to eliminate from your diet as important of what it is that you're adding into the equation. Once again,
it could be. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know. I personally suspect that it's the incorporation of this synthetic glycine, and that this doesn't do the same things that glycine does. And I think that the cells don't function properly. And that starts, I think that kind of helps along with the insulin resistance status. This is a guess of mine. But anyway.
That would be my guess. And if it does have something to do with glycine, I mean, glycine is the most abundant amino acid in collagen. So you could see that would have a huge effect on the heart or the blood vessel. So if there's some type of cardiovascular effect from that, I mean, that would be my guess in that area.
Well, and let's not forget that glycine is the most glucogenic of all the amino acids, right? It can easily convert to sugar on demand with the proper enzymes in place. And what if that glycine is being donated in an emergency in the brain to produce some spontaneous glucose, and it goes, oh, I can't use that. That's not the right part. And so the brain, the cells start to starve off. I don't know, but I just have a funny feeling that there's more to that story. And it could actually not necessarily potentiate, but it could aggravate, I would say, that people who have...
because Alzheimer's is not a new condition. It's
right.
Not new,
right.
But glyphosate is relatively new, so it could be...
worsening the problem.
Yeah, just making it even worse and exacerbating it, but not maybe causing it in the first place, but making it happen more rapidly, yeah.
There's one more thing I want to talk about here, because we're coming to the end of the interview, and it's an important discussion because, once again... You know, in the theme of where you get your information from, you know, there are people on both sides of the cholesterol fence. It's harmful and dangerous and has to be suppressed to zero. And the other group that just says, I don't watch it, I don't care about it. You write about cholesterol in the book. And what is cholesterol's role in the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's disease?
Good question. Hard to say what its role is in triggering this, but I mean, the brain is largely built out of cholesterol. And in fact, some of the problems with that ApoE4 genotype might be that the shape of the particle, the actual ApoE particle in the E4s is a different shape that is not as efficient at delivering cholesterol to the brain and to other tissues. And, Alzheimer's patients, many of them have lower cholesterol levels, lower cholesterol than healthy people. And, more and more studies keep coming out now that higher cholesterol is protected in old age, especially among women, but among men as well. And, Bredesen writes in some of his papers, or I saw him give a talk once, and he says these people come into my office and they're demented and they're all on statins.
Yep.
And it's really hard to explain to them and to their families that is likely a contributing factor to this illness. And I don't expect a huge improvement in anyone who's on a statin. I think the diet can go a long way, but they've got to get off that medication. I mean,
this is so tragic because this is an area that just so frustrates me when I think about pharmaceutical drugs that, oh, yeah, but your heart is great, Mr. Johnson, but unfortunately you won't remember this office visit an hour from now. It's like this is just not – and we don't even know. I mean, the evidence on cholesterol medications, lowering medications, actually preventing a first or even a second heart attack, you know, they're all over the place. There's a lot – there's just many that show that it doesn't as it does.
Yeah.
But
my idea that these
drugs are speeding people into dementia.
Yes, definitely. This is – they're on the express train, and the statin is just pushing that accelerator down to the floor.
Yeah.
And my book is written mostly for people for whom all this is brand new. You know, a lot of your listeners kind of know a lot about this. My book is written for the people that have never heard of type 3 diabetes. They've never heard that there's a connection to glucose and insulin with Alzheimer's. And the whole first section of my book is about the disease, how it happens, what's going wrong. And the whole rest of the book is explaining how to implement a low-carb diet, what to eat, what not to eat. But there's a huge portion of the book dedicated to explaining why it's okay to eat butter and egg yolks and to eat cholesterol and to talk to your doctor about changing your medication. And, you know, if I'm going to tell people that it's okay to eat red meat and liver and shellfish and heavy cream, then I've got to, like, dispel the myth that this stuff is going to kill them. It's just, we couldn't have gotten things more backward if we had intentionally tried to make people unwell and demented. And it's all that's happening now is the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes.
We've had this terrible, terrible advice for 50 or 60 years, and now the people that have suffered the most, this is a tidal wave of economic burden and psychological and emotional burden on the caregivers, the likes of which has never existed. And we have to do something about it.
You know what's funny? I did a show on Thursday where we addressed a fellow who put together a meta-analysis looking at the vegan, vegetarian, and omnivorous diet. And one of the things that came out in the interview, which was shocking to me, when I tell you, you're going to be shocked by it. I guarantee it, unless you've read the study mm-hmm. and you're way ahead of me, which is very possible. But they've done a study in Scandinavia looking at 10 different foods and 12 different beverages, specifically looking at telomere length. And the vegans get their telomeres get short the fastest. Guess what is the one food that not only preserved but increased telomere length? Beef.
Am I supposed to guess? I don't know.
Beef. Now,
wow.
Think about this. Every day we're being told Meatless Monday. Oh, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce opened up a vegan restaurant. Eat vegan. Oh, raising cows is destroying the planet, which is a lie. The truth is that growing crops is destroying the planet. Make no bones about that. I can argue that with anybody sensibly and win. And we're being told don't eat beef when, in fact, beef may be the one food we should be eating more of. Now, I'm not talking about Oscar Mayer's beef in a tube. I'm talking about real cuts of beef, right? Like from cows that live natural lives on pastures. Beef makes your telomeres longer. People are paying $350 a month for a bottle of TA65. They could just have a nice filet mignon three times a week and probably have a greater impact on preserving telomere length.
Right. Who doesn't love filet mignon as a health food?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, with eggs in the morning. The book is called The Alzheimer's Antidote. It's possibly one of the most important contributions to disease-related books that we have today. I sincerely mean this, okay? I'm telling you the truth about how I feel about this book, because this book is an easy-to-read book. Amy does all the heavy lifting for you, and she just gives you the facts that are supported by science that show that when you go to a high-fat, high-protein, low-carbohydrate diet, and your body is able to bring blood sugar down, that you can actually arrest and perhaps even improve many of the symptoms that you have or someone has, a loved one has, with Alzheimer's disease. And that's it, folks. It's a simple proposition with a disease that is stealing people from us every single day. I mean, you talked about the age. What wasn't it a couple years ago somebody in Hollywood won a Oscar for a movie they did, I'm Still Jane, and she's like 40 years old and she's got Alzheimer's disease, and it's the pain of having like a young mother, young wife develop Alzheimer's disease in her 40s?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about. Yes, it's happening younger and younger, and I think we know why. Or I could speculate as to why.
Hollywood doesn't make movies about things that happen to small groups of people. They make movies about things that affect a large group of people because they want a large group of people to buy tickets and walk in. And for them to win the awards they did for I'm Still Jane tells you the penetration, depth, and breadth that this disease has captured our country. That tells you something.
Yeah, it's one of the scariest diseases because there's no effective pharmaceutical treatment. If you get it, at least until now, there was nothing you could do, and people were terrified because there was just no effective help. But I think there's help now.
Great job, Amy. Really, really great job. Kudos.
Thank you so much. And just real quick to everyone listening out there, Carl, I had the pleasure of meeting you at the Ketogenic Conference a couple weeks ago. Everyone listening, he is as genuine and as friendly and warm in person as he sounds on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Okay, so there you have it. Great interview. Thank you for being on the air with us today, Amy.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
I purposely wanted this show to be a one-hour show because I'm going to edit this show, edit the commercials out of it, and turn it into a, I don't know, something that we could post and send it on the internet. More people need to hear this. I'm shocked. I was, you know, Elisa and I had some company over recently, and one of the gentlemen is suffering from both, I think, Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease. I forget if it's both or one. And the family loves him. They love him. They would not knowingly do something to harm him. But yet, like when it came time for dessert, it was being pushed upon. Oh, come on, have some dessert. You know, chocolate nut muffins, but cupcakes with lots of chocolate sugar, like buttercream frosting, and all these different desserts, ice cream. And the whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, I care about these people, but I can't just say, hey, you know, that stuff is really just going to make them worse faster. Because people don't want to know, like at a party, that that's what's going to happen. And so you just keep your mouth shut and you feel bad. Like I feel torn. If I care about the person, I have a responsibility to let them know. But these types of things are different, you know? It's not like, hey, watch out, a car's coming. And the person goes, wow, thanks for telling me. These types of things are like, you know, you're eating a food, or you're feeding your mom a food, or whatever it is that's really going to do this, this, and that to your bad. And people, when it comes to their food, it's like a religion. It's like, don't you dare tell me I can't eat this. I live for this. I've had people tell me that when we've talked about their diet. People who've actually come to me and we've talked about their diet. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to give that. Oh, but I love that. I love that. Oh, well, it's actually counterproductive for the goal that you're setting for yourself. Oh, isn't there a pill I can take? Isn't there a supplement I can take that will allow me to keep eating that? No. And so you end up losing friends, quite frankly. And you just keep your mouth shut because you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that person like that people cringe when they're going to be in your company because they know you're going to say something that they're doing that they shouldn't be doing. So I purposely just turn it off and watch. But I think that if those people, those same people, because I know that they love their loved ones, had the benefit of this information and looked at the results that people like Dr. Dale Bredesen is having with lifestyle changes and no drugs, no Aricept, no, none of that stuff. All those drugs are out of the picture. And these people have their lives back. I can't help but think that those same people would choose, make the choices that are beneficial for their loved ones, but they don't know. They don't know. And so I feel like it's my duty to get the word out. I really do. If one person listens to this show and changes the way they feed their father or grandfather or mother or grandmother or aunt or even mom, then it was a success. Just one person. So there you have it. All right, look. Tomorrow's Tuesday. We got the Blueprint Power Hour. Hope you can tune in live. If you can't, there's always the podcast. Thanks for listening today.